so crazy. They get into like the weirdest situations, and you're like, guys, get it together. But then at the end of the day, they come out on top.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, back from some Franklin and Bash. you just caught up on the end of some Pierce Bricks waxing poetic on how much he loves Franklin and Bash, TNT law dramas.
I have never seen Franklin and Bash.
Dude, you see every episode of Franklin and Bash. You have them all DVR'd. You've got Franklin and Bash posters on your wall. All you talk about is Franklin and Bash.
Who do you like better, Franklin or Bash, gun to your head?
I don't know which is which, but whichever one is Mark Paul Gosselaar.
Is that the road trip guy or the other guy?
That is the
Saved by the Bell
that's,
guy?
That's Zach Morris, Saved by the Bell guy.
Yeah, I would have to go with Saved by... I think that Saved by the Bell guy is Franklin. He looks a little more like Franklin.
He does. You're right. You're the small guy, the short little guy has to
like
be Bash.
Little Bash,
you're right.
Longer Franklin.
Right. Yeah,
exactly.
No, you're absolutely right.
Moving on. Listen, tomorrow, the New York Giants.
Yeah,
set your
right.
DVR for the Franklin and Bash, because we'll be watching the Giants. Won't have time for F&B and their crazy antics.
To go out to some bar somewhere and check out the NFL Network Thursday night game of the week, which
I hate.
It's a freaking travesty. Especially, I don't like it when there's another team playing. I certainly don't like it now because the Giants are playing, so I'm going to have to leave the comfort of my house and actually go mingle with the commoners.
You know, there's two things, but we will preview that, but there's two things that I don't like about that. A, first of all, it's got to be a bummer for you, Joe B, who's not a big fan of drinking.
Right.
You know,
I don't drink.
At least that doesn't, you know, at least you, I will be drinking, which is all right. I enjoy drinking some beers while watching the Giants game.
Mm-hmm.
But now I have to pay like $5 a beer as opposed to buying, you know, splitting a 12-pack with a friend of mine or something. So you're forcing me to spend more money, time, Warner.
And a tip if you're a decent human being.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. And you know the kid tips well. I tip better than I can afford
to. So, in your opinion, will it be a good night at the bar tomorrow night, or will it be a depressing show?
You know, it's tough. I'm a bit concerned about the fact that the Giants keep talking about, and I know you answer what you're asked about, and the media has this fixation on Coachgate or last play gate, victory formation gate. I don't know what they've called it yet. I'm sure they'll attach a gate to it eventually. They keep talking about the Bucs. I don't care about the Bucs. That was a great win. You got to carry that momentum.
Right.
I'm worried
but
a bit.
But again, I mean, you alluded to it, and I think it's a bigger, you know, having spent some time, you and I both, with these media types at Giant Camp this summer. Look, they're going to ask until they get an answer. And so you just give them an answer. So I don't look at it that as that. I look at the short week as a problem, the fact that you're trying to prepare for Cam Newton and Steve Smith. And on a short week with a secondary that's already just in total disarray.
Right.
That's the problem to me. And plus, you're going to have to you have to throw together some sort of package to contain Cam Newton, which is another issue. And the Giants do all right with mobile quarterbacks. I mean, they do well against Vic, in all honesty. They do well against Romo 2 weeks ago, not really. But
what I do like about this short week, how I think it benefits, is that if you look at the blueprint in which the Carolina Panthers are designed, big physical guy who can move around in the pocket in Cam Newton, you know, rushing the ball, explosive, you know, have explosive players on the outside, but they're not hugely deep on explosive players.
Mm-hmm.
They really want to establish the run, which the Giants did a great job, by the way, stuffing out the Bucs run last week.
Absolutely.
They're built the same way as the Tampa Bay Bucs.
Mm-hmm.
Their game design, their plan is and their quarterbacks are very, very similar.
Similar plan, just way better execution when you're looking at the Panthers, in my opinion. But what Cam Newton did last week against the Saints, unbelievable. Still got Steve Smith, and now you're playing. I mean, this secondary is bad. And Prince may or may not be able to go. Either way, I'm not going to rely on him. And so you're looking at Steve Smith. I think Brandon LaFell, who's the second wide receiver for the Panthers, is going to have a huge night.
It's very possible, and the Giants have issues. I think if I'm the Giants brass, I'm gonna flirt out the notion that Prince is going up until I can't do it any longer.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm gonna sit him because again, you're coming on a short week, which means you're gonna have a long week.
You have a week,
and you
yep.
can rest him and make sure he's 100% or as close as 100% as he's gonna get coming into week four. That being said, this is a big a big game. This is a game the Giants should win, looking at their schedule, need to win.
I'll tell you what gives me optimism heading into this week is that second half. Eli Manning being Eli Manning. I mean, I know you thought he had a pretty good game against Dallas, and he did. I have come to expect more from him, and I've come to expect that when the chips are down, Eli Manning's going to put the team on his back and pull them kicking and screaming across the finish line to the win. He didn't do that in the first game. He absolutely did it. He scored 25 points in that second half against the Bucks. Both Knicks and Cruz went over 150 yards. That's what gives me hope heading in. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think Eli and this offense is going to look great. I think Cam Newton and his offense is going to look great. Could come down to who's got the ball last.
And I hope that's not the case. I'm not a huge fan of just a shootout football. Listen, Eli Manning did not have a bad – Eli Manning led the Giants to a late-game score in the first game, and if they could have gotten a three and out, especially after a holding call – that, you know, Eli would have gotten the ball back with over a minute, you know, minute and a half or so left, if I recall.
I will say this. It's on the road. That also gives me hope. That's a weird thing to say, but these New York Giants going on the road, love that.
Yeah, but I don't love that being that it's a short week. You'd like to be home, staying home. The Panthers were home, so they didn't have to do anything. They don't
actually gives me more hope. Put our backs against the wall even more. Let's go. Let's do this. It's the New York Giants going on the road in a tough situation. I love it.
I'll tell you one thing I do think is going to look good when you're talking about a Brandon LaFell, and it's going to be interesting to see what Corey Webster can do. He's struggled, you know, Corey Webster against the extremely fast.
What can Corey Webster do? Well, so far it's look unathletic and
so
get beat.
So far it's looked like the 2006 Corey Webster.
Look unathletic, get beat for a touchdown.
Well,
Corey Webster.
He does have a pick. All right, we can't get the what. I liked what I saw from Jarrell Hosley, and you know what I saw?
Love Jaron Hosley.
Jarrell Jernigan, Jaron Hosley, they combined one dynamic young player.
See, Jaron Hosley getting the Bianchino bump. Interviewed him at camp.
Well, here's the thing about Hosley is I didn't see him. the best thing when you're a cornerback is when you look back and he played all but a couple of snaps in that game. And you only see him once or twice, that means they are not throwing it to his man.
Right.
And that is huge, especially for a young corner. You can get young corners who have lofty interception numbers. If you recall, I think his rookie season, Antonio Cromartie had 10 interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
That means people are still throwing to him.
Right.
That means he's got good recovery speed and great athleticism. When you see a guy like Hosley not even get the ball thrown his direction, that means they are opting to throw it to our number one corner in Corey Webster more than they're trying to throw it to whoever Hosley is on, and that's a great thing. So I think, you know, if he can continue to make these moves, I think Hosley has more upside right now from the little I've seen of him than the little I've seen of Prince Amukamara, to be quite frank.
All right, so important game tomorrow night. Very interesting game, I think, tomorrow night. What's your final score?
27-23 Panthers.
Ooh. All right. You can read my whole preview on Diary of a Giants Fan on 104.5theteam.com. I'm taking the Giants 31-28. High-scoring game, but I think they pull it out. By the way, I wanted to get into this a little bit of NFL, a little bit of MLB here. Two stories came out this week, Bricks. I need to get your opinion on. Yunel Escobar, Blue Jays player, suspended 3 games. For writing a homosexual slur in his eye black. Michael Turner arrested about 4 hours after the Monday night game ended for a DUI and like an aggressively high number on the.
I think he was 96. I think he was clocked going 96 and like a 55. And listen, it's good to see that Michael Turner can still move fast because he certainly didn't show it in the Falcon game.
Shown it. But, like, dude, was he crushing beers in the locker room? Like, that was aggressive. I mean,
yeah, that's pretty impressive.
I don't think
it was a beer situation. I think it's got to be something heavier to get you that hammered.
You're mainlining some friggin' alcohol to get that hammered and that aggressive on the speed. And he was arrested at like 5 in the morning. Like literally the game ended 5 hours ago.
And you know, it's funny with the Yunel Escobar situation. I don't know if you've ever done anything cool, like, you know, you have your hand in your pocket and your middle finger's sticking out in a yearbook picture or something. Something rebellious like that where you want to do something badass. And if you point it out to your friends, you all get a chuckle later. You can't
what did you
write
do
it
in high school?
Actually, my father did that. I didn't even do it. And then he showed it to me. He thought it was the coolest thing ever. Like 40 years later, he's still laughing at his own yearbook pictures. You can't do it on your face. You can't write a joke anywhere.
Why did you think that was going to be okay?
Like, nobody in America except Escobar speaks Spanish. He's like, all right, you know what I'm going to do? I'll just write this in pig Latin, and nobody will put it together. Matter of fact, the pig Latin move might have been better. Just stupid and on
so
your face.
Dumb. Are we getting dumber as we in sports collectively? This profession I'm not a part of. Are we all getting dumber collectively? Because these are some really,
you know, it's funny,
really dumb moves.
And the answer is no. We're not getting dumber because people have been dumb the whole time. I put together my top three. I know you have three. We have not gone over this.
All right,
yet.
These are separate from the game. So not like he made a really bad throw.
Three.
Like
off the field, just my top three off the field idiotic moves
all right, let
by
me
athletes.
Hear it.
All right, we'll go. I'll give you my third, then you give me your third. We'll go back and forth.
Okay.
Number three, just because I can't ignore it, O.J. Simpson stabbing his wife to death.
Allegedly.
O.J. Simpson stabbing his ex-wife to death.
Allegedly. Okay.
That one's pretty dumb.
I gotta say, I'm going Yunel Escobar because he literally, like, the only thing that people focus on in baseball is your face, and he put it on his face.
You know, it's the one.
You're
thing,
an idiot.
It's the reason that baseball players get paid so much is because their marketability, because you can see their faces. You know, that's a good point. People always focus on Reggie Bush. He used to put Bible numbers.
Right. He's wearing a helmet.
He's wearing a helmet.
Sometimes he's got the shaded visor on.
Exactly.
You're not seeing
if you're LT and you're rocking the shaded visor and you want to do something stupid, I think you might have a better chance of getting away with it. Number two, I'm going Vikings running back Ontario Smith. I believe it was 2005, perhaps 2006, getting caught with the Wizinator.
That's right. Trying to fake the test.
Fake penis, if you're not familiar with this. Which comes in a variety of different colors that he was traveling with, so that he could pass a urine test by exposing his authentic looking fake Johnson and squeezing somebody else's pee out of it, and he gets caught and exposed for this, and that was really the beginning of the end for Ontario's career. Who do you have at two?
I have Tanya Harding at two.
I flirted with the Tanya Harding.
Tanya
first of all,
Harding.
Don't flirt with Tanya Harding.
Don't ever. You're going to end up dead.
Yeah.
Because all right, you can't beat somebody. You just go out there and try and compete. Don't hire, like, two lackeys to cripple her off the, you know, just walk up behind her and beat her with a pipe so that she can't compete. And that was the beginning of the end for Tanya Harding in a career that ended with celebrity boxing when you know you've hit your absolute low point.
I will say what that did for figure skating is it let the world know that anybody can figure skate, because if that white trash person can do it,
she can rise from the trailer park.
Right, people thought figure skating was a country club sport. Ask Nancy Kerrigan. It is not. Ladies like Tanya Harding,
you gotta rumble if you want to get involved.
And that was U.S. on U.S. crime. That's the worst
part
about it.
That's true. Yeah, unpatriotic.
If you go club the Russians, then go, you know what? Go club the
Russians. Go club the
Russians.
More power
to you. But don't do it to my girl Nance. Nance.
Yeah, Nance. All right, number one.
Number one, I'm going Eugene Robinson.
We differ on all three.
Eugene Robinson, I believe the night before, or at least in the week leading up to the Super Bowl. And Eugene Robinson was a great guy, considered, you know, a great family man, one of the good guys in the NFL. Right before his Super Bowl, he gets picked up by an undercover cop who was acting as though she was a woman of the night. He gets picked up
Robinson.
Trying to get a hooker. But I'm sure his family's
in town for the
Super Bowl. Yeah, exactly. Right. Gets picked up before they lose to the Broncos. Huge distraction. The Falcons lose easily.
That is rough.
That was pretty bad.
My number one is one former Cowboy wide receiver, Mr. Sam Hurd, who was arrested with just an absurd amount of drugs because he wanted to become, like, aside from wide receiver in the NFL, wanted to become, like, the biggest drug dealer. He's trying to go Scarface on it. And so he gets arrested with, like, an absurd amount of drugs. And then this story gets compounded.
Yeah, there's more.
Not only is he, like, facing years and, like, decades of prison time, in the meantime, released on bail, more drugs. And gets caught.
I believe he
failed
a
two drug tests. Failed two different, like, after the first one, you're not going to be like, oh, man, I probably shouldn't have.
You know,
shouldn't
at the same point.
Fails two drug tests.
If I get caught with what he got caught with, which was, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it was ridiculous.
It was an aggressive amount of drugs.
Maybe I'm saying, screw it.
Like hundreds of pounds of marijuana.
Yeah, I'm going away for a long, long time. I'm going to get as high as I can right now.
But, like, I just, even if you're making the league minimum in the NFL, you're making, like, mid six-figure salary. You're trying to, you know, you know what? I'm gonna supplement my income by dealing an absurd amount of drugs. So there it is.
And I would like to give an honorable mention to Ryan Leaf. You put a lot of work in to make this list, and you were really on the precipice for numerous things.
But once again, you fell a little short, Ryan.
For once again, you just weren't good enough. Don't relapse. Enjoy.
Come back with an outrageous claim. It's cover two.